We praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be. Thou livest us, we filled with thee. Thou in the Son expressed might be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Nearly everyone knows something about Christ. There's a kind of natural understanding of Christ that is common to humans everywhere. Many people consider him as a great man, a great spiritual leader, or a teacher. Such a superficial knowledge can be gained from even a casual reading of the Old Testament. But portions of the Old Testament, such as chapter 53 of Isaiah, reveal the Christ of God's economy. The Christ of our salvation, and the Christ that gave immeasurable pleasure and delight to God the Father in willingly and humbly going to the cross to die so that God may have many sons brought forth. May the Lord grant us the grace and wisdom to present such a Christ to you today on this life study of the Bible with Witness Lee. And with us in the studio once again to add his comments and fellowship is Ron Kangas. And I think it's fitting, and I appreciate that you could join us for a message on a chapter like Isaiah 53.
This chapter, as any Bible reader realizes, is deep, profound, marvelous, and touching. And I count it a privilege to join our Brother Lee to have fellowship concerning Christ as he is revealed in this chapter according to God's New Testament economy.
Ron, our look at Isaiah 53 today, in light of the fellowship that we're going to receive from Witness Lee, will hopefully result in all of us seeing a new view of Christ. Verse 1 says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of Jehovah been revealed?" This is our one great need, isn't it, Ron, to have such a Christ revealed to us?
This need is much greater than we realize. We need Christ revealed to us and in us. We don't want our listeners to misunderstand. We're not saying that we need some kind of revelation apart from what is revealed in the Scriptures. There's no such thing. What we mean is that the Christ presented to us through the Scriptures would, by the Spirit, be presented to us, so that the Christ in the Bible would become the Christ in us. This is what the Bible itself teaches. And the prophet was very concerned for this. And there is an element, I believe, of lamentation in this word, "Who has believed our report," concerning something that far transcends the natural concept, including the natural religious concept concerning Christ. Who has believed it? Who will believe the report concerning Christ in God's economy? Then the second part of the question, to whom has the arm of Jehovah been revealed? The arm of Jehovah is Christ. So to whom has Christ been revealed? So as recipients of Christ's present ministry, we need to believe God's word, and we need to have a revelation of Christ imparted to us. Paul's experience of Christ began with Christ revealed in him. So we need to believe the report, and we need to receive the New Testament revelation concerning Christ, that together we may advance in our knowledge, experience, and enjoyment of Christ.
Ron, let's join Witness Lee with the first portion of our life study today.
Generally speaking, all the people either don't know Christ or they know Christ in a natural way, as a great man or as a king and so forth. This kind of knowledge is in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you could get verses concerning Christ's greatness, His majesty, His authority, His power, and so forth. The first item of the knowledge of Christ, that means of knowing Christ, is to know Christ at the arm of Jehovah. Then the second item is to know Christ as the reigning king. Then when you come to the end of chapter 52, from verse 13, it says, "My servant will act wisely and will prosper." Paul says, to us, Christ is the wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, wisdom refers to what? Wisdom or power all refer to the deep things of Christ, the depth of God. If you get into this portion of the word, you realize He will act wisely and will prosper in the pleasure of Jehovah. Jesus did prosper. From the day He came to this earth, He came out to minister. From that day, He prospered. One day, the Father told the Son, "My pleasure is that you go to the cross and die for my chosen people." In Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus prayed there, "Father, if possible, remove this cup from me. Not according to my will, but according to your will." After that prayer, eventually, the Lord Jesus told His disciples, "The cup that the Father gives me, would I not be happy to take it?" He was prospering in God's pleasure. The New Testament, at least a few times, says it pleased God. It pleased God. That's why God the Father could say, "In you I delight." Would you go to death to enter into resurrection? "Through that I will have many sons." That's my pleasure, and that's your prosperity. Christ prospered in His resurrection. In His resurrection, millions of God's chosen people were born.
Amen.
This is the wisdom. "My servant will act wisely."
Amen.
From the first day of His ministry into the day of His resurrection, He never did anything in the Old Testament economy. Rather, He did everything in the New Testament economy.
Ron, surely this is one of these deeper things. God the Father took pleasure, even delight, from Christ His Son, willingly offering Himself to go through death by means of the cross. This is a deeper thing, and I would say even a hidden thing. Why is there pleasure for God in allowing His dear one, and even the dear ones to follow Him, to suffer such a loss?
The Bible, especially the book of Ephesians, reveals God's good pleasure, the desire of His heart. The Gospels reveal that God is well pleased, God delights in His beloved Son. God's goal in His economy is to have a corporate expression of Himself, not only in Christ, the unique, only begotten Son of God, but also in Christ as the firstborn Son of God, with the believers in Christ as the many sons of God. God delights in His Son, and God delights in the reproduction and multiplication of His Son. The cross, in simple terms, had a dual purpose. On the negative side, the cross dealt with sin, sins, and all things contrary and frustrating this good pleasure of God. On the other hand, through His death on the cross, the Lord Jesus released the divine life from within Him. These two purposes are symbolized by the blood and water that came out from His pierced side, according to John 19:34. The issue of this redemptive and life-releasing death is that the life released by Christ through His crucifixion was imparted into God's chosen people in Christ's resurrection to make them the many brothers of Christ, the many sons of God, for the corporate expression of God in Christ. All of this makes God very happy. So God was pleased that Christ would go to the cross. God was pleased to have the negative things cleared away. God was pleased to see that the life seed within Christ would be released. God is pleased with His individual Son, and God is pleased with the corporate Christ composed of the many sons. God was pleased because the death of Christ was intrinsically related to the heart's desire of God the Father. This is a deep thing in spiritual significance and a deep thing in the heart of God that we need to understand in, by, and through the Word of God.
Ron, let's return to Witness Lee for another portion from this incredible chapter, Isaiah 53.
His visage was marred, disfigured, and His form was also marred. In your thought, in your imagination, what kind of Jesus do you have? When Jesus really comes to you, He will shock you. He's not that handsome. He's marred. He's disfigured. Would you not be shocked? You will be astonished at Him. Many, many big men on this earth were astonished at Jesus, because they saw Jesus must be some great one. Yet when they saw Him, He's so little. Jesus will also surprise many nations, because what He is altogether different from what they imagined. Many got shocked. He's different from what He thought. Quite often, we go to the sinners to preach the gospel. They had their concept about Christ. Christ is a big man, a big giant in history. But when we read some of the verses in New Testament to tell them, when Christ on this earth, He was a little Jesus. He lived in the despised region, the Galilee, and in the despised village, that's Nazareth. The professors will be shocked. What is this? They would ask, why? Why is such a big person in history needed to live in a little cottage, in despised village, in that despised region? Why? For the natural mind, it is hard to know, to understand.
Ron, to read a passage such as Isaiah 53 cannot help but in some manner bring us to our knees, whether literally or in our spiritual experience. This exquisite portrait of Christ that God has given to us in this chapter completely confounds the natural concept that people have about the Jesus that they have in the pictures that hang on their walls in their living room. But this Christ, this one in Isaiah 53, perfectly matches our experience, doesn't it?
I don't want to say no in response to the words perfectly matches our experience. But neither do I want to say yes without qualification, simply because there's a lot in this chapter that is not talked about today, is not testified of today, and that raises the question, does our experience match the revelation of Christ in Isaiah 53? So I'm not trying to be clever, and I'm certainly not trying to be evasive. I'm trying to be honest. So this question deserves an answer of yes and no. Yes, because every saved, blood-washed, God-forgiven, Spirit-regenerated child of God has experienced in some way the crucified Christ, the sin-offering Christ, revealed in Isaiah 53. I remember reading a portion of the testimony of a Hebrew Christian named David Barron, who gave utterance to what happened within him when the light of God shined in his heart and showed him Christ in Isaiah 53. So we affirm that this is the experience of us all to some degree. But there is much more of Christ revealed in this chapter, and we trust that further messages and broadcasts will bring this to light. And regarding this much more, we have to say, some of us have experienced this, and some of us have not. But those who have advanced in the Lord's grace, like the brothers with whom we are coordinating in this ministry, Brother Nee and Brother Lee, those that have really advanced by the Lord's grace, they can say, yes, by the Spirit of reality, guiding us into reality, our experience matches this chapter, and this chapter matches and interprets our experience. But if this is to be the case, we have to see not only Christ in his incarnation, in his human living without any attractive form, not only Christ in his death, but also Christ as the life seed, Christ in his resurrection, Christ producing a continuation, which is the church, the body, as his corporate expression. All of these are in Isaiah 53. If we don't see them, it's not likely that we experience them. But if we see them through the Spirit's enlightening and experience them through God's enabling in his grace, then eventually, gradually, we will be able to testify, this Christ, the one of Isaiah 53, perfectly matches our experience, and our experience matches the Christ of Isaiah 53. We believe that many of our listeners, although grateful to be saved, have been desperate for a long time to go beyond the ABCs of God's salvation and want to know more of Christ and experience more of Christ as he is revealed in the Bible as a whole and in chapters such as Isaiah 53 in particular. It is for you that we are particularly burdened, and it is our prayer that the Spirit of reality would guide you into the reality of such a wonderful, all-inclusive Christ, the Christ not of the natural or religious concept, but the Christ of and in God's New Testament economy.
Ron, I think you just encapsulated the flavor that we most often taste in the callers that contact us at Life Study of the Bible. People many times are astounded. I got a call the other day, a dear sister in the Lord. She said she received the Lord 30 years ago, left the church 20 years ago. She heard 15 minutes of a program the other day in Isaiah, and she said, that matched what saved me. But she called and she said, I just want to let you know what I heard was extraordinarily different than what I normally get. I just want to watch and listen for a few more times before I call you again to see if this is for real. She called back 3 days later. I said, okay, I'm convinced. This is the God that saved me. This is the Word that saved me. there is a quality here, isn't there, in this ministry that maybe right now is not for everyone, but certainly there are those that the Lord is touching and stirring within.
If I did not believe that this was the case, I wouldn't be here. My experience for more than 32 years testifies to this fact. Really, contrary to appearances, we're not extolling anybody. We're not exalting anybody. Paul told Timothy to continue in these things that you have learned, remembering those from whom you have learned them. Our dear brothers, Brother Nee and Brother Lee, paid a great price to advance in the knowing and experiencing of Christ. And through their faithful word, we have been ushered into an experience of Christ far beyond anything we ever imagined. And this experience is for God's good pleasure. So in a message here in Isaiah 53, we have a word, a ministry that relates the Christ in Isaiah 53 to God's New Testament economy. I believe that the sincere, honest, open, sober-minded, discerning listener will be able to sense there's a different flavor, there's a different atmosphere in this kind of word. It's not the atmosphere of religion. It's not the flavor of the natural concept. It's not a superficial presentation of a Christ who ultimately defies our capacity to know. What you have here is the flavor and the atmosphere of Christ Himself in His all-inclusiveness according to God's New Testament economy. But this Christ, according to the outward appearance, is uncomely. But if we go into the depths of this Christ, as revealed in Isaiah 53, properly interpreted and understood, we see a most wonderful person, altogether lovely, altogether inclusive. If we see Him in the Spirit, surely we will want to pursue Him, gain Him, and be gained by Him. For what? Not just for our spirituality, but for God the Father, and for the fulfillment of the desire deep in His heart. We too, then, can be a part of God's good pleasure, focused on the wonderful, all-inclusive Christ, unveiled in the book of Isaiah, revealed in chapter 53 of Isaiah.
Well, Ron, we have run beyond our time, even to the point that we haven't finished all of the points of the message that we had planned to cover today, but I feel within that the Lord is satisfied. I feel that this is the point to break. I appreciate your being with us. If you'd like to leave one final comment, I would appreciate that as well.
My final comment would be this. You can hear us, but we would like to hear from you, whatever is in your heart to share. And this is according to a very important principle in the body of Christ. And that's the principle of mutuality in fellowship.
Thank you for joining us today. And for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.